There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour.
Yeah, you coming now?
Welcome to Wrestling Daft, the Marks, hailing from Larbert, weighing in at 182 pounds. Yes, I have lost a pound, thank you very much. I'm John, producer of Wrestling Daft and host of this show. And with me, a man who has more moles in the industry than Rey Mysterio has eyes. That probably means you've only got two moles. It's Gary.
Two is more than most of the people that report on wrestling news, so I'll take that any day of the week. But I'm going to guess you're not wearing Mark Coffey's trunks if you've lost a pound now.
No, I've not got Mark Coffey's trunks on this week. No, I really should have. But alas, we are missing the third member of the team this week, as unfortunately, Big Alex failed the wellness policy. So was immediately removed from the show after several rewrites. So, Big Alex is not very well, but he has sent on his notes. Don't you worry. Unfortunately, however, Gary, I'm going to have to break it to you. It means we don't get turning Japanese. Our new favourite feature of the show where we'll take a look at the Japanese wrestling. We're not going to have that today.
My day's ruined. I think we might as well just call the podcast there and just leave it at 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know. We peaked last week with Evil's heel turn. Alex will be back next week. But it's just us two you're stuck with this week. And it's been a big week for wrestling, actually. Two big pay-per-view events at the weekend. And we obviously had Fight for the Fallen last week. Let's kick off with Slammiversary. Now, Gary, I have not seen this, but I've looked at your Twitter. You were obviously working from Sports Kida, and you know you do all your stuff on Twitter before the shows. From what I could see, it was a brilliant show. Talk us through it.
Well, you mentioned there that Alex is away, so we don't have the AEW mark, but I think I can replace him as the Impact mark now because I loved it. And I think they've been slowly building. I've been mentioning this for the past wee while. Every now and again, I'm like, Impact are doing things the right way, but they're still tarnished with that TNA brush, obviously. You know, everybody's still kind of got a wee sour taste in their mouth about the way the company was run a few years ago. Mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on here, Gallows and Anderson had signed with the company. There was definitely going to be more stuff happening. Knew that they were going to be heading into, you know, a new time of trying to, you know, make a break in the current wrestling. You know, it looks like it's not a monopoly anymore because AEW is part of it. Impact are definitely trying to make their way. Slammiversary, huge statement. Just a brilliant show, start to finish. There was a few things that weren't great, but that's always going to be the way. Nothing's perfect. A few things that weren't amazing. The match quality was amazing. You know, we didn't just get Gallows and Anderson returning. We got the Motor City Machine Guns returning straight off the bat. They used Gallows and Anderson as a decoy to bring them in unexpected. And they done the same at the end. You know, the mystery opponent. And sorry, Heath Slater turned up halfway through as well. Yep. But you had the mystery opponent. Everybody's gone. It's going to be EC3 or Eric Young. Who did they bring out? Rich Swann. And then that's the swerve because immediately after he comes out and everybody's went, oh, we wanted EC3 or Eric Young. Then a masked man comes out. That masked man is Eric Young. And at the end, we get EC3 as well with a perfect hook for TV. Brilliant show start to finish. I absolutely loved it.
Now, you obviously just thought you were getting one of the stars. I mean, that's how they kind of teased the campaign. Yeah. You know, you thought you were only getting one of the stars. But then they've just went like, no, we're all in with all these guys now. And, you know, do you think Rusev was going to be part of that as well?
I'm not sure on that. So that's obviously, we mentioned last week that he had COVID, that it got him. It confirmed that he was, you know, positive test on Tuesday. So there was no way that he was going to show up because it was live. I'm not sure. I would love to see him in Impact. I think he would be great for Impact. The one thing I'll say, everybody was saying before, oh, well, they've not got the money to throw around and get all these names. They definitely do. I mean, look at the people they got rid of. Tessa Blanchard on a lot of money. You know, Mike Elgin wasn't on a pretty penny, and also, or sorry, was on a pretty penny, and so was Joey Ryan. Yeah. So even if you count them having no money in the bank, aside for that, they cut three massive names. You know, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson were always going to go there. AEW apparently no longer had any interest because they'd been rejected the year before. They were always going to go there. But they're, you know, I think they're in a minority of being on an actual contract. There's a lot of people that are getting paid per appearance. Deonna Purrazzo is still one of those. And I think Keith Slater, you know, EC3 and Eric Young might be in that bracket as well. But they definitely have money to spend. So Rusev could still make an appearance in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think out of, you look at the companies, Impact's the one out of this whole lockdown situation that I think had the chance to do the most, if you know what I mean. You know, could have the biggest impact because, you know, you expect AEW and WWE are such a pedestal that it can only go kind of backwards for them, but they're kind of down here. And, you know, from what I've gathered from, you know, we spoke to David Sahadi on this show, who's one of the Impact producers who obviously was really big in the WWE. And from what I can gather from him, they were doing things the right way. He was saying our production values are a lot better than what WWE and AEW have got on. Just people aren't as aware. Now, there was a lot of buzz around Slammiversary, you know. And then hopefully that's got more eyes on the product now, especially with those names coming in. And you then start questioning, with the way the ratings are going for both AEW and WWE at the moment, you think, can they just start sneaking up, like, up the back there as the toddlers and see what they can do?
I know journalism doesn't really dictate, you know, ratings or anything like that, but I just had a look today at, like, so every event, Sports Gida does, like, a kind of results article, you know, most websites do, and people will read that haven't actually watched the event for the most part, or some people just read it for the sake of reading it. The Slammiversary results article that went up immediately after it, you know, maybe less than an hour after it, so that's UK time, 5 a.m. Sunday at the latest.
Yeah.
Until just now, that article has been read 337,000 times.
That's interesting.
That's a lot for Impact. Yeah. That is unheard of for Impact. So we'll see if it kicks on.
Interesting. It will be interesting to kind of watch that as it develops, especially if they could put Rusev into that mix.
Yep.
You're suddenly going, right, okay. Well, I'm sure AEW are going, oh, that's maybe something to start worrying about. As are the WWE as well. So I've got Alex's notes. Oh, even though Alex has failed the wellness policy, he has sent over his notes. So he's put down for Slammiversary, put over return of Motor City Machine Guns, Shelley coming out of retirement. Buddy, sound quality. Did you notice anything wrong with the sound?
Yeah. Firstly, I want to note, see on that the Motor City Machine Guns thing, the genius there was that Impact had teased a world champion coming back. And Chris Sabin is a former world champion. So right out of the gate, that meant that the surprise people were like, oh, maybe there's not going to be another world champion. Turns out there was two more. So that was good. Yeah. But yeah, the sound quality was the one thing. There was only two things on the full show that I didn't like. One was the gauntlet match. They'd done this thing that I hate when wrestling promotions do. WWE are really bad for it. We've got a multi-woman match. Let's have a guy dress up as a woman. Aww. And they've done it twice with the same guy, and it was terrible. Yeah. And that match as well didn't really show off the knockouts division at the best it could. But the other thing was the sound quality. It was kind of bad at the start, no too noticeable. They then had a bit where they cut to their Josh Matthews saying, oh, and this is what happened between Taya Valkyrie and Johnny Bravo, which they've got a wrestler called Johnny Bravo. They cut to that. I know it doesn't make any sense. He's the guy that also was the one that cross-dressed in the event. But they went to that, and then we just had like dead air for about 2 minutes, and then they kind of went cold into the video. Something happened there. And then the most notable part, the annoying part, and this was both a Fight TV and an Impact thing, Fight TV went down right as Heath Slater made his appearance.
Oh, so
a lot of people didn't see that. I did see it, but his microphone wasn't working, so you could only hear a kind of muted version of what he was saying. And that obviously ruined that segment. So that's the only thing. And it's annoying because the production aside for that was great. It was just a few important bits that were wrong.
You can't account for technical difficulties. I know all about that. also, on Heath Slater, Alex has suggested new names for Heath Slater. He thinks either Heath Tyler or Heath Roofer. I see what he's done there. You'll appreciate that one, Gary, as a fan of the fun.
I don't mind that. Apparently, as just Heath. Heath is just his Heath. Name now. Yeah.
Right. That was Slammiversary. Sunday night, it was the horror show at Extreme fucking Rules. Now, we decided to have a Patreon party. Unfortunately, Gary, you couldn't make it. Big Alex was obviously failing the wellness policy. So it was me left on my own with a couple of our patrons. Thanks very much to Pablo, Sean, Scott, Paul, who all joined me. And what a laugh we had at that event. Now, I've come out of that event going, oh my God, we were slating it, absolutely slating it. I've went on, I was like, I can't wait to read the reviews of this, but every review I've kind of read has been really positive. What was your take on it from Sports Kira's point of view?
I'm not sure I can help you because I think I liked everything everyone else hated everything everybody else liked. I thought it was a really good event overall. I loved the tables match. I thought that was brilliant.
That was good, yeah.
I really liked the Dolph Ziggler-Drew McIntyre match because I feel like they played the stipulation well there as well. You know, everything was good about that.
I thought Drew, Dolph, that's the best I've seen Dolph in years. And I didn't like the stip. I didn't like the stipulation on it, but because it was a bit weird. But the finish, what a finish that was, by the way. What a finish. That flip up from the, and then into the Claymore kick was the thing of absolute beauty.
The thing that, so this is where it gets controversial. The thing that I loved, and then the two things I disliked are things that I think everybody would disagree with me with. I loved the eye for an eye match. I thought it was brilliant.
Right. Right. It was a good match. It was a good match, but it was like, it was weird because it was almost like it was like a normal match. Like Ray was just doing his going through all his kind of, you know, set manoeuvres and all that sort of stuff. And it wasn't until the kind of end when it started tapping up, they started ramping it up to the kind of the eye thing. So it was like, it was a bit weird and it was like, I don't get it. I mean, what did you think of the fake eye?
Right, so this is one that I'm going to say 20 years ago, it's the best thing ever. And I'm guilty of this. It looked amazing at first sight because you could only see a tiny bit of it. They left enough to the imagination. Yeah. You know, the Seth Rollins vomit looked legit as well. I don't know if he was eating oats, porridge or whatever before it. That looked legit. And I think they left enough to the imagination. But of course, people like me and everyone else went back and grabbed as many screen caps of that eye as they could and scrutinized it. In an age without social media, I think they get away with it. But then, obviously, now we're like, it's a bit rubbish. I still thought it was okay. I'm willing to give them the pass on that wee thing because it's not their fault. And if they did show it, people were saying, oh, where was the CGI? I think if they'd done a CGI eye, it would have been terrible because that's, you're setting expectations you can't reach. We all seen the Eric Rowan spider. I'm quite happy with them leaving it to the imagination.
Yeah, no, I have to say, our Patreon Pablo, while we were watching, did point out that Seth Rollins came out with a set of mole grips. Now, in his words, I don't know if Pablo is in the medical field or is just a psycho or a murderer, because he said, listen, you're never going to get, I hope it's the medical field, I think it is actually, but he said, you're never going to get a set of eyes out with mole grips, what you need is a spoon. So he was telling us, that's how you get an eye out, is with a spoon. So they were going for all the wrong tools, you know, kendo sticks, stair edges. They should have really just brought out a spoon and went with it with a spoon.
I quite like the way they've left it on a bit of a cliffhanger as well because he's got globe luxation. His eye didn't get fully gouged out. I love how they've went all in with that that term, but someone asked Dave Meltzer on Twitter, how do you heal globe luxation? And Dave Meltzer's reply was, you sign a new contract. Because apparently Rey Mysterio, they're going to wait and see if he signs a new contract to see if he comes back or not.
I didn't like the sick bit, I thought was unnecessary. I've got poor at it. And then someone did point out, see when Rollins was doing, like Rollins has clearly never been in the scouts because the knots he was trying to do to tie Rey Mysterio to the ring was terrible.
Aye, that was That was probably a downfall with the knot making. I was like, you're not going to tie anybody up there.
Anything other that kind of stood out from the pay-per-view on you, bad or good?
Yep. The ending of Sasha Asuka. Really didn't like it.
It was two screwy endings.
Aye.
The fact they did it with, obviously, MVP got the US title without fighting Apollo and just said, I'm now the US champion, and then obviously that ref. I mean, obviously it leads to a rematch because apart from the finish, it was an incredible match. You know, only standout match in the card.
I think they were using that to boost a TV rating, which I know that some people don't like when they use pay per views to sell TV, but that's where the money's made now on TV. But last night on Raw, they had the announcement that next week the match will take place where Asuka and Sasha Banks go head to head, and it's a, you know, you can lose the title on a disqualification type thing. So it's pretty good the way they've sold it after that, but the ending was still just overbooked really badly.
Swamp match. Let's talk about the swamp match. Thoughts?
Hated almost everything about it, but the things that I liked, they done really well. I loved
Alexa Bliss bit, I thought was great. Yeah,
that's the standout for me. I loved the Alexa Bliss bit. You know, imaginary Alexa Bliss being the one to, you know, as Braun Strowman's sister Abigail trying to entice him home. That was great. I loved, there was a few wee things. They had a boar at the start, and they showed a buzzle, and they showed a hare, which is obviously Huskus Pig, Mercy the Buzzard, and Ramblin' Rabbit. And the boar thing kind of also looked really, really good. The boar was also a tease. Bray Wyatt put up an image a few weeks or a few months ago, maybe, and it was the Fiend mask with a boar tusk. And it seems like people are thinking maybe Braun Strowman is going to become a different type of Fiend with a boar mask on, which could be pretty cool. But there was a lot of things I liked. I loved the end as well. The credits coming up, and then the credits disappearing, and is getting the actual ending with the Fiend. I love that for the, you know, they call it the horror show Extreme Rules. That was the one bit that made it like a horror show. Was really good, but the rest of it, I thought the rest was really boring and dragged on a bit. But the bits that were good were good.
Yeah, going to the horror show Extreme Rules. It's like they hadn't even bothered dressing the arena. They hadn't I was really disappointed. I expected horror show. They would dress the arena. They would do obviously a bit more, but they couldn't be arsed. And even fucking Bray had fairy lights around this swamp. I can't imagine Bray going down to B&M or the range and picking up a set of fairy lights for the swamp, you know?
So I put up I got sent on a couple of images yesterday of behind the scenes of the swamp fight, and it was obviously somebody that had worked in the crew had sent these to somebody, and somebody else sent them to me. But it looks like, and I'm no certain, it looked like a golf course that it was filmed on. And the images and the light looked very, very different. So obviously they did quite a good deal of production on it.
Yeah.
But it was the one that stood out. A lot of them, it was just like, oh, there's like a couple of sound effects, vans with like equipment being loaded out, or there's Vince's security guard and stuff like that. One bit that kind of I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, was see the start with the rocking chair in the middle of the road. That image was there during the day as well, and it was like, oh man, the amount of work they've done to actually make that look like it looked was good. So I appreciate it, but it was just a bit boring and long for me.
Mixed bag for you. Not my favourite pay-per-view, I have to say, for me. Looking at Alex, I've got Alex's notes as well. He says, put over the tables match, the powerbomb finish. Wolf, that was good.
Oh, aye.
What a plus spot.
I mentioned that where I love that Cesaro had a respect for plurals because it's a tables match, so he made sure he put him through too. But it was some spot. Hundreds of respect to Kofi Kingston for actually going through the table.
No, exactly. He says, bury that, aye. Yep. And... Buddy, Bliss sister Abigail. It was an image as opposed to actually Alexa Bliss's sister Abigail. So he's talking shite there. He's talking shite.
So, Ron's imagination.
Exactly. So we put it out on Twitter to you guys on the Wrestling Daft Twitter. Give us a 5-word review of Extreme Rules. Let's go through a couple of these. They're good. Ben Hall, he's gonna puke. Westy, what did we just watch? David Birch, Kofi threw two tables. Wow. Dean Riley, eyeball extracted. Samoa Joe, unfazed. Yeah, didn't seem that arsed about it.
No.
Kieran Kelly, time to up Vince's medication. Right. Simon, swamp fight. absolute swamp shite. Chris Hutton, Rey Mysterio holds a gobstopper. Scott, nobody got eaten by alligators. I was so disappointed there wasn't Braun Strowman wrestling an alligator. I wanted that to happen, and it
did. I was certain that was going to happen. Not even a wee cameo for ZZ for Tough Enough, the guy that did actually wrestle alligators, but nah, no luck.
Poor.
But that's, I say that the one thing for me is I think I'd have liked the event more if Slammiversary hadn't been the day before it, because Slammiversary was brilliant. So kind of was on a...
Putting that over. Alex Watson, only two words. Ay caramba. Separately, Rollins vomited, but there was no Janny ready with a bucket of sawdust. Really concerned about their health and safety procedures. -5 stars. And finally, this is one you agree with. Being nice to wrestlers who are cool, not as good as Slammiversary. There you are.
Yep, definitely agree with that.
So there you have it. I'm sure there'll be lots of buddies and putovers for that on the headline show with Rab and Grado this weekend. And remember, you can get them in too at Wrestling Daft on our Twitter or just Wrestling Daft on Facebook.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, Gary, I'm raging. And this is a bit pent-up rage. It's not about wrestling this week. It's not about wrestling.
Is that about Alex?
It's not about Alex. Oh. No, I wouldn't, you know, the boy's ill. Sorry, he's failed the wellness policy. It's not about Alex. It's not about wrestling. It's about people on mobile fucking phones, right? Why? And maybe you'll explain this. You're of a younger generation, Gary. Let's know. I'm coming up for the big 4-0 soon, okay? Why, oh why, do people wander the streets of the city with the mobile phones FaceTiming?
Oh.
Why do they do that? I don't want to hear your conversation. I don't want to see this person. And for one, you're going to walk into a lamppost or you're going to walk into me as you walk around with the mobile phone doing a FaceTime. Why do people do this? Explain to me. You're the younger generation. Do you do this?
I do not. I am completely against. You wouldn't think so because we record video chats here, but I'm completely against FaceTime anyway. I don't like video calling people. I don't like calling people, so I'm completely against it. I would actually say, and obviously you need a bit of leeway on this, ban mobile phones unless people are sitting down or waiting at a train station or something. But I don't need people if you hold mobile phones. We've already seen what happened in a wrestling regard with them ruining the NXT main event last week. So just ban mobile phones.
But, right, so you're offering banning mobile phones. I wasn't going to go that far. But see, if you are one of those people, right, please, just for me, you know, just put it to your fucking ear, right? You speak to the person with your ear and with your mouth. They don't need to see your face. They've seen it before. So, no to FaceTime on phones. Thank you. So, it's that time of the show we like to buddy and put over stuff from all of the TV shows from the week. Myself, John, I do NXT. Gary does Raw. Alex normally does AEW, but I think we're going to do a combined AEW buddy and put over this week in his absence since he failed the wellness policy. And we get one of our Patreons on to be our fellow Mark, and this week it is Mr. Bronze Chill who will be taking on SmackDown. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Yourselves?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, Bronze Chill was one of the fine gentlemen who joined us watching Extreme Rules. We've just been discussing that earlier in the show. Gary's all for it, me not too sure. Paul, what was your kind of final verdict on Extreme Rules?
I enjoyed it. It was a good watch.
You just had to leave it at that's all you had to leave it at. That sound was. That's all you had to leave it at.
The cinematic match, I think, went on a little bit too long. But other than that, it was good. I really enjoyed Drew versus Dolph. That finish was just absolutely brilliant. It was a good show last night, Raw, as well, carrying on with it.
We'll get into that with Gary as he does the Raw. We know your wrestling credentials. You don't have to prove it to us. But do you want to, let's kick off with AEW. I will read out Alex's notes because Alex, you know, even though he's failed the wellness policy, has provided us with notes from AEW. So here is Alex's notes on Fight for the Fallen. Put over incoming Kenny heel turn. First of thing he'll put over. You guys obviously watched AEW as well. It does look he was battering poor old Marco Stunt while he was on the ground after the victory. Do we think this is good? I think personally, yeah, I'm all for it. Yep. Kenny, I think he needs to do something on that. So, yeah.
I think we've been calling for it for months on here, yeah. Where it's like everybody at first thought, oh, Hangman's got to be the one that turns, and it's like, no, there's definitely much more stock in having Kenny Omega turn. You know, I mentioned it, that I think he needs to have a... He's not done badly at all in AEW. Obviously, he's a big part of the tag team division now, but I feel like there's something missing for the Kenny Omega that we've seen in Japan. Yeah. I think the heel turn could be the thing that brings that Kenny out.
Yeah, I think everyone agrees with that. Alex is burying Taz, bringing back saying champion on commentary and missing the I in champion. I've not noticed this.
I love Taz. I can't say anything. I'm a Taz mark, so I'm going to defend on everything.
His other buddy is Orange Drop. Too much effort for Cassidy. Demo God nonsense. Now, let me get onto that as well, because I am completely with Alex. As a wrestling fan, do you really care about fucking demographics? We're not marketers here. We don't care about that. We're a wrestling fan. I hope it's just a one-time thing, but see this Demo God thing. I mean, you guys have seen it on Twitter. Obviously, the NXT AEW rating battles are always going about this 18 to 49 demographic. And now they've obviously AEW. Again, another dig at WWE, which I need to think they need to kind of just pull back a bit. They've come out with this Demo God stuff. Thoughts on it?
Do you want to know the best thing?
What?
In approximately 4 months, Chris Jericho will no longer be in that demographic. On 15 November. So obviously a lot of wrestling journalists on Twitter, and the second the ratings are up, they are publishing those ratings. A few months ago, I decided not to bother because I like both shows. I can't be asked with the ratings. So I have muted the word demographic on Twitter.
Well done. Well done. I did, you know, Alex is burying the Orange Drop. I really like that. I thought it was really good. He's saying the constant repeats. It was repeated probably a bit more than it should have been. But Jericho on comms after it was brilliant. It was just great. And the Ortiz swimming, constantly slipping on it was brilliant as well. So yeah, I'm disagreeing with Alex on that one, I think. He's putting over surprisingly strong booking in the main event. Well played with the preventing injury angle to save face for Cage. It was a kind of no-win there, wasn't it, for Brian Cage? Because they need to keep the belt on Moxley. I think we all kind of agreed on that last week. You know, but you know, you ask the question: these guys coming in, you know, we're looking at Lance Archer, we're looking at Brody Lee, we're looking at Brian Cage. All these big guys coming in. What's the next move for these guys? You know,
I feel like they're booking themselves into a corner quite a lot, because the Brody Lee one, they instantly made him look weak, and the same with Brian Cage, I think. The next challenger needs to be somebody that they've built up on AEW and that can take a loss unless they do a title switch. So I feel like they've got a lot of building to do with Brian Cage now.
I really enjoyed the AEW on Wednesday. I watched it, you know, a couple of buddies from me, the fact that Dax Wheeler can't start a van or a truck. He doesn't seem to start the truck. Brilliant. And I have to put over Hangman Page's Jack Daniels to Cola ratio, because there was a hell of a lot of Jack in there. Hell of a lot of Jack. So well done that, man. Anything for you guys you'd like to put over a buddy for me, the wee since Alex isn't here?
Sonny Kiss, Cody Rhodes. Incredible.
Yeah, such a
absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Lot of little heel hints from Cody, I thought, as well.
Yeah.
You wonder, is that then Cody drops the TNT title and then goes in with Moxley? That's kind of where I could see that going.
I wouldn't mind that, apart from the, I don't know how much we're going to go with him saying that he's never going to challenge for the...
That'll be part of the heel turn.
That'll be good.
And Alex's match of the night, he hasn't went for Sonny Kiss versus... He's went for the Lucha Brothers versus FTR.
Of course he has.
Such a mark.
Let him away with that one, I guess.
Obviously. Let's move on to NXT then, which I was on, obviously, going for the buddies and put overs. Let's see what we can put over. I'm going to put over the nation of Australia, just as a whole, because Jesus God, the amount of good female wrestlers that they're producing at the moment, incredible. You know, you've had Rhea Ripley, Toni Storm, the Iconics. Now we've got Indi Hartwell, who looks like she went over Shotzi. She went over Shotzi. I mean, there was obviously a bit of jiggery pokery going on, but again, incredible the amount of female Australian wrestlers that are doing well.
I can make you change your mind on Indi Hartwell, John.
Right, go.
She is so young that she got into wrestling by watching Bayley versus Sasha Banks at NXT.
Oh my God. Ancient. Jesus Christ. So yeah, let's put over Australia. And let's also, you know, move on to the Burries. Where do we go with it? I won't even go. I'm not getting back into it, but the Archer of Infamy thing still just fucking me off. And we won't get back into that. I think, and this is my buddy, is Legado del Fantasma are wasted in the cruiserweight.
Aye. And Raul Mendoza isn't a cruiserweight.
No, he's not. But they seem to be, they did a vignette with them and they were talking about being kind of running the cruiserweight division and stuff. So I think it's a complete waste of the talent they've got there and what they could do with it. Because I like where they're going with the vignettes and what they were doing with it. Thatcher's vignettes, not a big fan, but we'll move on from that. But we'll see where that is. It could also be a quick buddy as well to Karrion Kross, who, you know, following on from the fact that Dash Wilder can't start a car, Karrion Kross clearly can't untie a tie. If you watch that, back, trying to get a tie off, he struggled a bit. He can obviously rip men's arms out of their limbs, but he can't get a tie off. So
we'll that reminded that. Me of the Tyson Fury trying to snap a pencil on Raw thing.
Let's put over, however, Legado del Fantasma for boosting the cruiserweight. So it obviously puts a spotlight. And listen, if they are going to be used, like, it does put a, you know, the cruiserweight has just been thrown to a side after everything that's gone on, and obviously the drop in the 205 Live. So I love it. I'm marked for a nice little cruiserweight match. So if it does get more eyes on the cruiserweight and kind of we start seeing a more focus on that, I'm all for it. So bury the fact they're getting used for it, but if they are going to get used for it, you know, let's put it over. So match of the night for me, where did I go with it? I mean, the main event, we had, it was good. Tegan and Io were great. Tegan really come across babyface, really strong babyface. I think in front of a crowd, she's going to do really well. And she just see the improvements coming on. But, I have to go for Lee versus Dijakovic, because I just love the two big horses going at it, and I always think they produce, you know, and I'm really looking forward to Dijakovic versus Karrion Kross. That'll be money.
Dijakovic on Twitter talking about Karrion Kross.
No.
He said that he was going to slap the fake tattoos off a rubbish Goldberg or something, calling him. Then mentioned something about Sub-Zero's granddaughter, about Scarlett. He went all in on them on Twitter.
That'll be good. That'll be good next week. I'm looking forward to that. Right, okay, let's move on to SmackDown. And you're full of positivity for this one, Paul.
I am. I really enjoyed SmackDown last week. It started off, there was an absolutely brilliant intro. Had promos from AJ, Matt Riddle, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Miz and Morrison, Braun Strowman, Cesaro Nakamura, and The New Day. And it had like a really old school feel to it, a bit like an old Saturday night's main event, and it made it feel like it was going to be a big show. And once The New Day had finished their promo, they literally did their usual, oh, people at home, and then they just went straight out to the ring. It was just such a perfect start for the show, really. After that, I've only really got a couple of little buddies. It wasn't, you know, full of bad parts. But my first major buddy is showing a highlight package of the karaoke contest from the week before. Oh.
That's one thing that I think we didn't mention it in the Extreme Rules thing, but I love that they acknowledged that during Extreme Rules.
Now, this is my question. This is my question right here, and I asked this when we did our Patreon party. Was the karaoke segment just set up to be that bad so they could use it as a gag at the horror show at Extreme Rules. That is the only reason I could see it being set up. No.
Well, Bray obviously called it the most horrifying, revolting, disgusting footage known to man. And I'm going to be honest, I could not regard it as a highlight. It'll probably go down as one of the worst segments in wrestling history.
Yeah.
And I think that fans are going to be talking about how bad it is for years to come now. And my other slight little niggle is they're showing obviously a promo for the Jeff Hardy Sheamus bar fight promo, and then it never happened. But obviously we found out now that it's going to be on next week's SmackDown, so I can kind of give it a bit of a pass. But I just don't think that they wanted two bad cinematic matches in one night.
Was there a reason, Gary, reaching out to you on this one? Was there? Did you hear anything why that didn't end up appearing at Extreme Rules?
No, the two things I've been trying to find out, the two things that seem to be coming forward about that is both the fact they wanted to keep the short pay-per-view, which I'm a big fan of, so yeah, they didn't want to overload it with stuff, but also the TV ratings. You know, Big Show Orton was on Raw last night. Everybody expected that to be on Extreme Rules, so it seems like they're maybe trying to keep bigger matches for TV as well going forward. Mentioned it earlier that, you know, people don't like them using pay-per-views to sell TV, but they make more money for TV, so it weirdly makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. And match of the night, Paul?
I'm kind of torn between Matt Riddle and AJ. It was a really good match, and then Baron Corbin came out after, so it's obviously going to further the Matt Riddle feud. But definitely my match of the night. They'd hyped up a big surprise guest on the Moment of Bliss. So Sasha and Bayley came out, and Bliss says that them two aren't the surprise, and Asuka came out, and then it set up for Asuka and Nikki Cross versus Sasha Banks and Bayley. Definitely the match of the night. There was great tag team chemistry between Asuka and Nikki Cross, and probably my favourite part of the night, Nikki hit her great tornado DDT off the announce table. That was probably my highlight of the night. Definitely nice. Match of the night.
Nice. It seems like, so SmackDown seems to be up in its game. Do we think it's going in the right direction? Maybe we'll have to start.
Soon as Jeff Hardy Sheamus ends, it'll be brilliant.
Right, Gary, let's hop over to Monday Night Raw.
My putovers and biddies are going to give people absolutely no idea of what went on in Raw because they're so obscure. But anyway, we'll get to it. My first putover, MVP. Back in January, MVP came back to WWE as a guest appearance in the Royal Rumble, apparently a one-off. He then wrestled, I believe, against Rey Mysterio the next night on Raw for what was meant to be his retirement match. 7 months later, he's still here. And not only is he still here, he's revitalised his own career, but he's also revitalised the careers of Bobby Lashley and now Shelton Benjamin. Yeah. We've got a new faction called the Hurt Foundation, although it's not. That's the thing
business,
that I mentioned it.
They should be called the Hurt Foundation.
I put up something about them and I got a tweet saying that producer John had said the Hurt Foundation, and I'm like, I said it as well, and it's like, oh no, we don't know what one is said at first. So I'm calling it the Hurt Foundation going forward because it's a better name. But it's the Hurt Business. The only thing that I'm not sure about on that, they brought out a t-shirt and it's the Hurt Business Bobby Lashley under it. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they're using it as just his nickname, but they were referencing that as the faction name definitely all night. Either way, I don't care. My put over is MVP. Absolutely brilliant. Revitalising the careers of two people that could do with a push.
Is Cedric going to join as well, do you think?
I'm not sure. So I think that the thing that we would see, and I know we're going to get into it in the news, would be the full Apollo Crews storyline. I thought he was a stick-on for the person that would join it. But, you know, Cedric and Ricochet could. I think anything that makes them fresh is good because they've kind of dropped the ball on them a little bit more again.
I think, you know, we've not had a good faction in a wee while, have we?
No. And this could be one of them. They do it well in NXT, but not so much in the main roster.
Yeah.
League of Nations come to mind, and so did Zelina's faction for a while ago that just couldn't get a win. So,
yeah,
aye, hopefully.
Well, you've obviously got Seth and his disciples, but that's just kind of been Austin Theory. Where the fuck is Austin Theory?
Seth and his disciple.
Yeah.
Disciple. The one of them, aye.
So it's just kind of fallen away as well. So, no, I'm all for that. All for that.
Yeah. And the Biddy actually comes for that as well. So while I love them making a new faction, and while it was the right decision to have a returning Mustafa Ali pick up the win. You can't put the Giller a faction and then have them lose on the first match, especially when one of them's in a United States title picture. Oh. It took the pin. MVP took the pinfall against Mustafa Ali and Ricochet and Cedric, which it was a great match. As far as six-man matches go, I'm delighted with that, but I just felt like they should have booked those separately. The Mustafa return and it was a wee bit annoying. The other Barry falls into the booking category again. I remember I used to not like burying any kind of booking things. This one isn't so much booking as it is them being self-aware of their own booking and saying stuff about it. So Aleister Black was on a 32-match unbeaten run. He had never, lost cleanly. I believe the only loss that he had in singles competition where he took a pinfall was in a handicap match against AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson. Essentially, what happened was Aleister Black went up against Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins won, and we ended up with Aleister Black getting injured, seemingly written off TV, and the commentators decided just not to acknowledge the fact that he had been on this massive run. Annoying both for Aleister Black, because he deserves to be acknowledged as having been that dominant guy, but also it kind of takes something away for Seth for beating him, because you can put over Seth huge if you say, this guy gouged out Rey Mysterio's eye, and then... Yeah. Has ended up ending Aleister Black's streak. So that was a wee bit annoying, but oh well.
Yeah. Imagine that. Oh, you got one more, buddy.
One more put over. And the put over is actually the complete opposite of that. So I mentioned Aleister Black's winning streak. Ruby Riott finally won last night for the first time in singles action since February 11th, 2019, where she beat Nikki Cross on Raw. So she has finally won a singles match. You could see what it meant to her. It looked completely legitimate the way she felt after it, the emotion that came through. And man, I'm just happy she finally won a match. Hopefully it's the first of many, because I really want her to be pushed.
Yeah, was Bella at ringside for it?
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't think so, because it was only, or maybe she was, it was only Peyton Royce that was there rather than Billy Kay being there. I can't remember. I know Belair was there because she was in a backstage segment. I can't remember if she was at ringside.
Right. All right. Yeah.
And match of the night, we mentioned it there. Seth Rollins, Aleister Black. Nothing else needs to be said. Lengthy match between those two is always going to be good.
Yeah. Good. Well, I've got a lot of catching up to do on Raw. Thank you very much, Paul, as ever, for coming on and getting involved in the show. We love you.
And we didn't mention that he's wearing a Wrestling Daft T-shirt.
He's wearing a Wrestling Daft T-shirt. So you can see his Wrestling Daft T-shirt in all its glory if you watch the video version on the Patreon. So get signed up now, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Paul, thanks as ever. And remember, if you want to get your buddies and put overs for Rab and Gradio on the Headline Show, dead easy to do at Wrestling Daft on Twitter, or just find us on Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Right, it's Patreon time. It's the time we ask you to put your hand in your pockets and support the podcast. And in these times, we'd really, really appreciate it. So just in case you don't know what Patreon is, it's basically a service that you sign up for, choose how much you want to give to the podcast, and in return, we offer you extra content. You can see what we have to offer at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Now, tier one, that's about £3 a month. As a cruiserweight champion, you'll get ad-free versions of all episodes, early episode access, bonus content from the shows, full video version of this very podcast, so you can see the beautiful Gary Cassidy and wearing a lovely tartan shirt today. And you can vote on what you want to see in the list of Wrestling Daft, which we'll get onto at the end of the show. Tier 2, Intercontinental Champion, $10 a month, about £7. You get everything in Tier 1, as well as you get a video version of the Headline Show with Rab and Gradio each week, so you get to see them in all their glory. You get invited to our Patreon pay-per-view parties. We just did one there for Extreme Rules, which was a really good laugh. We all had a couple of beers and had a laugh at the Swamp match. And you'll get a bonus episode once a month. That should be coming out this week or next week. It's Rab on Wrestling, as we find out a wee bit more about Rab's history into the business. Tier 3, World Heavyweight Champion, $20 a month. Everything in previous tiers. You also get a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt with a design of your choice, but you need to be signed up for a minimum of 3 months, plus the chance to come on this show as a mark or on the Headline Show in our new feature called The Run-In, where you get to come in onto the show and you get to ask Rab and Gradio whatever you want. So you get that all on tier 3. So get involved now. We'd love to welcome you to our roster, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Bad, bad,
bad,
bad,
bad,
bad news.
It's the wrestling news
with Gary Caston. And Alex isn't here this week to screw his face up at the jingle, so that's good news. Gary, the world of wrestling. It's been a bit of a slow news week for you. You've not had much going on, have you?
Nothing at all. The only thing was that I was vindicated in my Gallows and Anderson story because they are now in Impact. So
well,
at least
you were happy. You were slightly worried you were going to that was going to be a big failure. And obviously, last week you were talking about getting battered off Carol Anderson potentially as well. So I'm glad that's all worked out for you, buddy. I'm glad that's right. If you want to see or read any of Gary's stuff, you can get it on SportsKeeda. But what is happening in the world of wrestling news? I believe Vince doesn't give a fuck about the ratings.
Aye, so we've managed to kind of avoid coronavirus this week, but this is still kind of related because we know the ratings have gone down over this, you know, pandemic period, this era of not having actual audiences. And people thought the ratings might go up. They have done the opposite. Raw last week, 1.561 million viewers, a record low, you know, not too much higher than what NXT and AEW combined hit, and obviously they're meant to be lesser shows somewhat. So Vince McMahon, everybody would imagine that Vince McMahon's raging. This is our guy that we mentioned last week that's reporting on this, Paul Davis at WrestlingNews.co, the guy that I mentioned with no social media presence. The one thing that I need to say on this, this is the guy who also said that Mustafa Ali was not going to be moved to Raw because he was still listed as a SmackDown superstar, and they got moved to Raw last night. So we'll just...
Paul Davis is talking shite.
We'll approach with caution here, and I can
right,
say that
because
he's not got social media to call me out anyway. but yeah, he's reporting, and I've got a wee bit to add to this anyway, but he's reporting that Vince McMahon is apparently not too bothered about the fact that the ratings are down because nothing you can do about it. Apart from the fact that Vince McMahon obviously replaced Paul Heyman with Bruce Pritchard. So it does seem a wee bit bothered in the way that he made changes to try and fix it. He's saying that apparently he shrugged off the low figures though, and that is something that is definitely believable. We can imagine that Vince McMahon would just shrug it off and say, aye, viewership will go up eventually. But there are a couple of wee bits to add to this. A lot of people are saying that Vince McMahon's not happy with the ending to the Eye for an Eye match at Extreme Rules, which a few people agreeing with him there. Rare that people agree with Vince McMahon, but apparently he was delighted with the Wyatt family, the Wyatt Swamp fight. So
really?
Yeah, a lot of weird reports coming out about that. But yeah, I guess. Aye, we'll wait and see what happens. Wait and see if he gets his sight back.
It is interesting though, because when we went into this pandemic, you know, and this is behind the curtains of Wrestling Daft, when I went into this pandemic, I thought, oh, that'd be good because more people listen to podcasts, more people listen to us. It's actually had the other effect that it's because people aren't in the routine. People aren't in the ordinary routine, so people aren't commuting. People aren't watching the same TV shows at the same time. It's kind of knackered everyone's routine a wee bit. So I think, with any luck, that will all return once we get life back to normal. But yeah, I feel Vince's pain. Let's move on to the next story. This got me excited. Potential return of the Nation of Domination.
So when I read this, I had to check for a second and make sure it wasn't like kayfabe news that were posting it, because I was like, surely no. But it did excite me when I realised it was a new actual story. So the thing about this, we spoke about it with the factions thing, WWE and factions. They do it really well in NXT, maybe not so much on Raw, but we've got the Hurt Business back, and obviously Apollo Crews is in a rivalry with them. We seen Ron Simmons last night. I was certain that Ron Simmons was going to take a punt or an RKO for Randy Orton due to the fact they were calling him a legend. But no, Dave Meltzer's reporting, our favourite journalist, Dave Meltzer, I feel like I need to add every time. That, you know, I mentioned this last week, every single week on Raw, there's multiple rewrites this, multiple rewrites that. But yesterday they were meant to start recording at 1 p.m. Florida time, and they started recording after, I think it was like 2:30. Obviously, a lot of things changed. It seemed like it was last minute, which I don't mind because we got a good show anyway, so keep doing it last minute. But one of the plans that was originally floated and why Ron Simmons was appearing on camera was a return or a revamp of the Nation of Domination. Ron Simmons was going to be a part of it, but I don't know how many of the original members they could get back, so you'd have to assume that we'd be getting some new superstars in there. Apollo Crews wasn't there, but apparently that's a kind of by appearance thing. We're going to see him back at some point. Could be, you know, this week, next week. Could be in a couple of weeks. We don't know. But the thing I like about that is his indie name was Yuha Nation. So if we could change the name a wee bit and just call it, you know, Yuha Nation or something like that, it'd be quite cool and have Apollo Crews flanked by Ron Simmons. But I don't know who else they'd have there. Maybe Cedric and Ricochet?
So I guess that would kind of set up the kind of Hurt Business with Farouk / Ron Simmons against, you know, the guys. Yeah, you know, that'd be interesting. I'm all for it if they do it. But if they've rewritten, it doesn't look quite going now, does it?
Nah, we'll wait and see. You never know. These kind of things can always come back out. But there's sometimes more to these stories. People were saying Nexus were going to reform at WrestleMania, and it turned out that it was just a signing they were going to do. So, so wait and see.
Yeah. On the Buddy Eater putovers, we mentioned from Alex via text that he didn't like the orange juice drop. And apparently, it was all Chris Jericho's idea.
Yep. And the most cutting news that we can ever give, you know, actually, I shouldn't slate, because we like giving out wee bits of news that are only the most serious, like, you know, people losing their jobs or the coronavirus stuff. It's actually nice to get a wee bit of news like this. And we know Chris Jericho's a genius. We know it. The guy, everything he does turns to gold. Everything he touches turns to gold. And it turns out that his segment with Orange Cassidy, where they dumped gallons of orange juice. Sadly, we don't have a number on the gallons there. That would have been nice to get that insider info, but we can't get that. But the actual info is that Chris Jericho, it was all his idea. And he originally wanted, people who have watched wrestling for a while will love this, originally wanted Orange Cassidy to come to the ring and hose down Jericho with orange juice, a la Kurt Angle with milk. That would have been brilliant, and that's something that he revealed on his, I think we even referenced this last week, his weekly show that he does on Facebook called Saturday Night Special, which he just answers a load of questions and chats about stuff. But yeah, apparently that was all his idea, so pretty cool.
No, I liked the spot. I thought it was really, really good fun. And like I say, Ortiz swimming about was tremendous. Loved it. Loved it. Gary, as ever, thank you very much for all the news. So that's it for a very diluted version of this week's show. No fantasy booking island or turning Japanese in Alex's absence, but we will be back where next week as Alex controls the book, and we are apparently got to book Grado's run in TNA. So that will be interesting. And I might see if I can get Grado on to be the guest judge on that as well. We will see. But yeah, we'll be back next week. And we've got an extra special interview. Gary, who have we got on next week's show?
Yeah, you know, I'm not one to shy away from controversial interviews. I'll always interview anyone. And this is someone who's been making waves across wrestling for the right and wrong reasons for the past few years. A video was recently posted of him in a ring holding up his WWE Cruiserweight Championship, but he's no longer with the company. And he hid it behind him for the full interview. Enzo Amore, a lot of stuff I wanted to talk to him about. The reason I got in touch with him, is because, like I think I mentioned last week when we spoke about Gallows and Anderson going to Impact, they are also doing a show called Talking Shop-a-Mania, and they've got a load of people there. It's going to be them, Keith Slater, Kurt Hawkins, Teddy Long, a load of big names there. Mike and Maria Kanellis are there. A load of massive names are going to be doing that event. Enzo is one of them, and he spoke to me about the main event, which is called a Boner Yard match, and it is Gallows and Anderson going 1-1 in their parody of the Boneyard match. So he spoke to me a load about that, but the more important stuff, I asked him about how big Cass is doing, asked him about how things are between him and Vince McMahon right now, and yeah, just a load of stuff about what he's doing, if he's continuing in wrestling and all that kind of stuff. Really interesting interview, but if you're offended by the F word, you're probably best not listening to it.
Anyone that's offended by the F word will not listen to this podcast anyway. Have you heard Robin Grado? Jesus Christ. Yeah, so we have Enzo, which I have to say, I was a massive mark for Enzo and Cass. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you had to say to him, Gary. We'll have that on next week's show and the return of Big Alex. Hopefully, remember, we go twice a week now. We have the March program with us, guys, and you hear Rabbit and Grado on a Friday, where this week the list of wrestling daft, there was the choice between the worst segment ever in wrestling based off the back of the karaoke on SmackDown versus, I just put it up, the best tag teams ever, and obviously the best tag teams ever that won it. Gary, who's your favourite tag team?
Oh, can it be the Hurt Foundation? They'll know. I think maybe. So it depends if we go for actual tag teams. I think the Hurt Foundation might actually be up there. Demolition will always get a mention. For me, the earliest one, I'm stuck now. I was going to say maybe the Mega Powers deserve a mention, but for me, it's the British Bulldogs.
Oh,
I remember them as a kid, and they got me into everything. I think there's a lot of, you know, when you look at the new teams, there's a lot of teams that we could look back in many years. You know, Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys all deserve a mention. So,
yeah. Young Bucks.
Young Bucks eventually, I think, will be mentioned as well. Yeah. And even the Usos, I think, will deserve a mention as well when it's all said and done. But yeah, for me, I think I'd go for the British Bulldogs, just nostalgia.
British Bulldogs is a good shout. I wish I'd thought of that one. But I personally would have to go for the Legion of Doom / Warriors.
Yeah.
I remember dressing up as Animal when I was about 8 years old. It was I won the Cubs fancy dress party. Me and my friend dressed up as the Legion of Doom. I'm really have to put Legion of Doom in there. But we'll find out what you guys have to say, and also what Rab's going to count down as top three this week on the show. So make sure you listen to Rab and Grado. In the meantime, get on patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Sign up there. Buy a t-shirt from us. We'd really appreciate that as well. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Get involved in all that. And next week we'll be back with Big Alex on this podcast. Gary, where can we get you in the meantime?
Wrestling Gary on Twitter. Type in Wrestling Daft, follow Wrestling Daft, and then take away the last four letters, stick in Gary, G-A-R-Y, and I'll be on there talking about wrestling, because that's all day ever.
That is all you do. are you going to be on TikTok as well for all your, not TikTok.
I was going to say, Twitch. Definitely not TikTok.
Are you going to be on Twitch doing anything this week?
I go on Twitch now, normally for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour before Raw, SmackDown and NXT/AEW, and just chat about wrestling, take questions for people, give my opinion. So if anybody isn't sick of hearing me talk on here, they can go and check out Twitch, Gary Talks Wrestling.
Good, get involved in that and support Gary there as well. So yeah, have a great week, and until next time, keep marking out.
Audio Frontier.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.